Well, as I said earlier, the season after Lent and Easter through Pentecost is a time called Eastertide. And this year, we'll be exploring the concept of emerging from the tomb and/or the cocoon. Easter is not just one day for Christians, but it is the day. And it's what guides us throughout the year. So today, we're talking about coming out, leaving comfortable places. We acknowledge the challenge of coming out through our scripture in Exodus. And then we look at the beauty of the unexpected by coming out of the cocoon or tomb through our text from Luke, which calls us not to be afraid. So I just want to briefly mention the Judicial Council and the commission, the Way Forward Commission, which are two things that are going on in our denomination. It leaves us a little uncertain, and so I'm bringing it up in this moment to say that who knows what's going to happen with our denomination with the answers to these, both of these groups meeting, both the Judicial Council and with the Way Forward Commission. And so I have asked everyone to be in prayer for the next, well, Tuesday through Friday, and we'll have two prayer visuals here because we don't know what's going to happen next in our denomination. I don't want to be someone who alerts you and scares you, but I also want you to be, to know that something may be emerging in our denomination, and we need to be praying about it. And if you cannot pray in the church at 2 a.m., it's okay to sign up and pray at home. So the prayer schedule is around the clock, but it's okay to pray at home. You don't have to come to church. So just wanted to clarify that so you knew that we weren't counting on people being here all night long. All right, so back to our text. You may be wondering, why in the world, Pastor, did you pick out the Exodus text in Eastertide? What's going on here? I selected this text because sometimes it's hard to come out of comfortable places. The Israelites were enslaved for 400 years. Generation after generation had remained slaves in Egypt. And the oppression and the slavery just drained on them. Generation after generation after generation. You can imagine, because that happens still today, doesn't it? People living in poverty, that it's a cycle in their family. Generation after generation, they get exhausted, they get discouraged, and it's hard sometimes to come out of comfortable places. Around the world, there are people being oppressed generation after generation after generation. And so we look at this text knowing that the Israelites have been held in slavery and oppressed for 400 years. And then a new king came to power that was very harsh on them. And that's where we find ourselves in this text. The Israelites had been growing in numbers. They'd been doing what they were told to do, multiplying. And the king was nervous because what if there was more of them than there was of us? They might want to overthrow me and my kingdom, and we don't want that happening. So the king ruled that the midwives were to kill the boys when they're born. And I mean, I'm very briefly going over this. Please go home and read the full text in your Bible so that you can hear the whole story. I can't tell you the whole story. There's so much juicy stuff that we can talk about in this text that we're only going to talk about little bits, but there's so much more to read and know and wrestle with. So some years went by, and Moses became upset because he heard of this ruling that the boys were to be killed, and he also saw the harshness and the brutality that the Egyptians were doing and giving to the Israelites, and it broke his heart. And then God spoke to him. And Moses brought this to the Israelites, this message to the Israelites. And I'm thinking, how exciting, right? Wow, God is speaking to Moses. Moses is telling the Israelites what to do. Isn't that great? All this hope. And they were so exhausted, discouraged, oppressed, that they couldn't even hear the hope that Moses was bringing from the Word of God. They were incredibly discouraged. I'd like to share with you this because this is a tool I want to tell you about, but in the text, there's some differentiations. So here we're looking at the Common English Bible next to the New Living Translation, next to the New Revised Standard Version, next to the Contemporary English Version. Because in the middle of the text in Exodus, it talks about the judgment. But in the Common English Bible, it says, and the momentous events of justice. Not judgment, but of justice. And I found this interesting because every time I think of judgment, I think it's bad. Something bad is happening. And this is what the text is talking about, that God will bring judgment to the Egyptians to be more kind and not to hold the Israelites in oppression. But then there's that word justice in there. To me, that intrigued me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just the only nerd in the room, but that intrigued me. And then at the bottom, in the green boxes, their complete exhaustion and their hard labor. Next to another translation, too discouraged by the brutality of their slavery. Next to the next translation, their broken spirit and their cruel slavery. Next to discouraged and mistreated to believe him. Wow. Broken spirit, discouraged, exhausted. Too discouraged to believe him. Wow. So if you want to play with this tool on the internet any day, you go to BibleGateway.com, and there's a way in which you can put these side by side, the same exact text in different translations, so that you can see how they were translated and put together. So, too discouraged, broken spirit, exhausted, too exhausted to believe. Wow. Well, doesn't that remind us of us? Aren't we just like the Israelites sometimes? I'm not comparing their slavery to what we go through, because slavery is beyond anything I can imagine. But aren't we sometimes slaves to success or slaves to expectations set by our family, or maybe expectations set by ourselves? Or maybe we're too exhausted to believe because of our past or our present situation or the expectations that we need to feel that we feel we need to live up to. Or maybe we're just physically exhausted to believe. And maybe we're exhausted from pretending. We're exhausted from wearing that mask. At church, do we think we need to be something that we're not? Are we pretending? Do we put on an act? Are we ready to be authentic with one another? Are we truly open to hearing someone else's struggle? Coming out is really hard. It's nice to stay in a comfortable place, even when that comfortable place is not safe physically or emotionally. We want to stay in the cocoon of comfort, of the known, of the certain. I'd like to share this song with you. And as you listen to the song, please know this could be speaking about a relationship within a couple, within a friendship, within the people here in this congregation, or it might even be speaking about our relationship with God.
What if I told you about my little nothing town, the two-room house where I came from, the man that I got my name from, I don't even know where he is now. What if I told you sometimes I lose my faith, I wonder why someone like you would even talk to me. What if I told you there's no fixing me, 'cause everybody's already tried. Would you stay? Would you leave? I could wait.
Show people who we really are, if we come out of our cocoon or tomb and truly share our gifts, what if? What would emerge? And we hear this over and over and over, as we did in our text from Luke. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid to let these gifts, your true self, emerge. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 through 30. It's just before the text that Lee read this morning, just to give you a little context. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Wow. What if each of us has found favor with God? Do not be afraid. Luke and the Gospels give us hope in the impossible in many ways, but in these few verses, we have hope in what seems impossible. First of all, an angel visits. Wow. Mary, a young woman, has found favor with God. She becomes pregnant and gives birth in the future to Jesus, and Elizabeth, her cousin, becomes pregnant with John the Baptist, and Elizabeth is of an old age. And then the angel says, for nothing will be impossible with God. Do not be afraid, and nothing will be impossible with God. Wow. In the song we'll be singing each week, this is the day of new beginnings. I want you to look at these words because they're powerful. This is a day of new beginnings. A time to remember and move on. A time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. I hope during Eastertide we'll be able to live into this song. It's a time to believe what love, what God is bringing. Every day is a day of new beginnings because we can choose it and because we can trust that love, that God is with us in our coming out and leaving the comfortable places. It's interesting because I feel like we have several lives. I have a friend who used to say, in my past life, blah, 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 blah. Like, in my past life, when I partied in college, blah, 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 blah. In my past life, when I had young children, blah, 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 blah. And she would call her different stages of life her past life. And isn't that true? We each have several lives within our life. I found this quote, which I forgot to write the author down as I was looking through images. It says, "He came into this world to make dead people live." Well, we know some people who are walking zombies, disconnected with emotions or with their spiritual life. And we may be one of those zombies. But we are not designed to be zombies. We're designed to have several lives within our life. Lazarus, who we'll speak about later in this series, and Jesus both rose from the dead and were not zombies, but were made new. It is challenging to come out of our cocoons and tombs because it may be comfortable or we may know what to expect in it. But we're designed for so much more. And with the example that Jesus gave, nothing is impossible. He showed us we all can be made new, trusting in the love of God. God will not make sure we have perfect lives, but God will always be with us in the tomb or the cocoon and be with us when we emerge. The tomb is a symbol of darkness and death. For Jesus, is a symbol of transformation. And as we read, the very hungry caterpillar, the author described the process of preparing for the cocoon. Remember all the food that caterpillar ate. And we have been preparing. And now it's time for us as individuals and as a congregation to come out, leaving the comfortable places, to emerge into a beautiful butterfly. Amen.